Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Jai. So today is Nityananda Trayodasi. It's the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. So I'm going to begin this class by reading an excerpt from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave, where he was speaking about Lord Chaitanya in Hawaii, 1976. Then I'm going to try to say something about the importance of Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Nityananda, and then I'm going to give some biographical information, you know, just kind of go over his life and some of the pastimes, and then maybe at the end, if anybody can think of something. I'm sure I'm going to leave out some because there's so many wonderful things that, you know, everybody could say about Lord Nityananda. So I'm going to miss something, probably a lot. And at that time, if you, you know, devotees can contribute and add to the pastimes or mention a pastime I forgot or whatever, questions. Okay, so we'll read this excerpt from the lecture here. Prabhupada says, Nitya means eternally. Ananda means happy. So Nityananda has no unhappiness, but he was passing on the street. There was a crowd, and Nityananda Prabhu inquired, why there is so much crowd? So somebody informed him that there are two brothers, Jagai and Madai, and they are very fallen souls. Although they were born in Brahmana family, very nice, rich family, but being addicted to drinking and prostitution, they become now rogues, thieves, this way. So they are disturbing the whole neighborhood. So Nityananda Prabhu considered, so these two brothers are so fallen. Why not deliver them first? This is Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his master. So my master's name will be famous because the master's propaganda is chant Hare Krishna. So if I can induce these brothers to chant Hare Krishna, they will be saved. So why not try? This is Nityananda Prabhu. Para Dukha Dukhi. He is happy personally, but because he knows that these drunkards, woman hunters, prostitutes, prostitute hunters will suffer very, very severely. So why not deliver them? This is Nityananda Prabhu. Vaishnav. So, Prabhupada goes on. But, so that's a very important point. Prabhupada's emphasizing there the compassion of Lord Nityananda. And I'll say something more about that as I kind of go through his life. But another important thing to know, understand about Lord Nityananda is that without the mercy, according to Narottam Das Thakur, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, it's not possible to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and it's not possible to enter into the pastimes, understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that's stated here in a song, in the song book called Nityananda Nishta, commonly known by devotees as Nittai Pada Kamala. So, two places in the same song, in two different places, Narottam Das Thakur basically says the same thing. He says, in the first stanza, he says, Heno nita bine bai radha krishna paite nai, drida kodi daro nitai pai, which means, unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will not be possible to attain or to approach Radha and Krishna. If one wants to enter, if one actually wants to enter into the dancing part of Radha and Krishna, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And then just in the third stanza, or the third part of the song, he says, Nitayer karuna habe, blaje radha krishna pabe, daro nitai charana dukani. which means if you actually want to approach the association of Radha and Krishna, you must first achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha Krishna. Therefore, you should firmly grasp the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So, you know, twice in the same song. There's only four verses, and two out of the four verses, he makes the same point, that you got to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda in order to be able to get the mercy or understand about Radha and Krishna, enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that's just something about the importance of Lord Nityananda. Okay, so now we're going to try to kind of say something about his life so everybody can get a bit of an idea. So Lord Nityananda appeared in Eka Chakra in approximately 1474. There's no information about, none of the six Goswamis really wrote about Lord Nityananda, except for Sanatana Goswami. He mentions him briefly, and I forget which literature, maybe it was the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, I can't remember for sure. But aside from that, the Goswamis didn't mention him in their writings, although he was mentioned and described extensively in the biographies of Lord Chaitanya by both Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then later on, there's a lot more biographical information about Lord Nityananda in the Bhakti Ratnatkara and the Prema Vilas. And I forget the authors of those. But so he was born in 1474 in a town called Eka Chakra. Actually, it's not even a town. It's just a really small village. I can't remember. You can get there from Mayapur. It's about a 4 or 5 hour bus ride, and it's about 100 miles. Anybody's been? Oh, quite a few devotees have been. Yeah, I went. And I don't know what it's like now, but I went. It was probably about, it was between 25 and 30 years ago, because the only one thing I can remember was when I went, Vipramukhyas was a swami, and that's a long time ago. So anyway, there was nothing there. There was nothing. It was just like a really small village, not many people, like no stores. they had that was the birthplace of Lord Nityananda, and so when he was very young, he was there up until the time he was 12 years old, and during that time, he went. One really outstanding characteristic was that he would get together with the other children in the town, and they would always be reenacting the pastimes of Krishna, the pastimes of Ramachandra, some pastimes of some of the other Vishnu Tattva incarnations. And he did it so well that he just used to astound not only the townspeople or the villagers there, but even the boys he was playing with, they couldn't understand, like, how, you know, they were like vacillating from how that he's an amazing actor to the other conclusion was, no, he must be some special personality. No ordinary person could actually enter so deeply into these pastimes and, you know, express so many different of the, you know, the emotions and have the information. Anyway, he was really amazing everybody by that. And particularly when he played Lakshman, when they were reenacting the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and also once they were reenacting the pastime where Akura comes and takes Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan and takes them to Mathura, and then he was playing the part of. He was expressing the emotions of the gopis. Anyway, as I said, the villagers and even the boys who were playing with him, they were just astounded. At one point, I actually asked him, so where did you learn all this? You know, they asked him, where did you learn all this? And he said, actually, these are my pastimes, and I'm allowing you to see them. So he actually said that. So that was went on until he was about 12 years old. His father and mother were from Mithil. They were from a Brahmin family in Mithil, and they wound up in that village somehow. His father's name was Hadai Oja, and his mother's name was Padmavati. And so they were nice, you know, Brahmin people, simple. So when he was about almost 13 years old, a sannyasi came to Ekachakra, and as per the hospitality of Brahminical culture, Hadai Oja welcomed him to his home and said, you know, please, we're so honored that you're here, you've come, and please stay with us, and anything that we have, you know, whatever we, what's ours is yours, you know. So, you know, he just said, how can we serve you? So this sannyasi was, he said, well, you know, I'm a sannyasi, I don't require much, I live very simply, I don't have possessions, I don't want possessions, I don't, you know. But, I mean, actually, since you've asked, there is one thing, I need a traveling companion. Because, you know, I've been traveling alone, and your son seems like he would be a very suitable traveling companion. So that was like a thunderbolt for Hadai Oja, actually. But the thing was, he was caught. He made the promise. He was a Brahmin, and he made that promise that, you know, I offer you whatever I have. So when the sannyasi asked for that, he felt obliged. He had to keep his word. So, okay. And he gave his, you know, he gave Nittai at that time to travel with the sannyasi, and which he did. He left, and he felt so much separation after he left that he didn't live very long after that. He couldn't bear the separation, because not only for, you know, for his mother, for his father, for all the people in the village, he was the life and soul. You know, he was, you know, everything for them, and. So, in particularly for his father, he felt so much separation, so much regret. Not regret, I mean, you know, he knew he did the right thing, but still, it was too much for him, so he passed away. Anyway, so Lord Nityananda, at that time Nittai, traveled with this sannyasi. And interestingly enough, he, of course, Lord Nityananda is Balaram, so it's not coincidental, but he did visit a lot of the same places as described, as Lord Balaram visited when he did his pilgrimage, you know, when he, as atonement, he after killing what's his name, Ramaharshan Sutta with the blade of grass, and you know, the Ramaharshan, right? And they asked him, you know, the sages said, well, you know, you could do some atonement, and that was the atonement he chose. So he visited places like Vaidyanath, Gaya, Kasi, Prayag, Hastinapur, Dwarka, Siddhapur, etc., etc. Same places that he traveled all throughout India, and the same places that Balaram had visited. And then finally, he wound up in, towards the end of that 20-year traveling with that sannyasi, he wound up, well, at some point he came in contact with Lakshmipati Tirtha. Lakshmipati Tirtha was a great, highly elevated devotee. He was actually the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Nityananda actually took initiation from him. That was Lord Nityananda's actual spiritual master, Lakshmipati Tirtha. Generally people, it's common misconception that he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He wasn't. Although he treated Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master, because Madhavendra Puri was senior to him and was also, you know, very, very elevated. So he showed him, he offered him the respect and related to him as if he was his spiritual master. But technically he was, a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. And Lord Nityananda, another thing about him, he was an avadhut. Avadhut means, wrote a definition of it down here. But it's a highly elevated person. They don't have, they're not worried about the details of, sannyas life. Avadhuta. Okay, here we go. Divinely eccentric. Sometimes, this is avadhutas in general. Now, by the way, avadhutas, a lot of times they're impersonalists and like that, but there is a sect of Vaishnav avadhutas, apparently. They're called the Turiya Tit avadhutas. And Lord Nityananda suggested by different biographers that he was kind of a member of that. He was a Vaishnava Avadhuta. And typically Avadhutas would go naked. You know, they wouldn't worry too much about how they were, you know, their appearance. They're very peaceful. They're indifferent to, you know, social conventions. So it's described that Lord Nityananda manifested or displayed all these different characteristics. I mean, there actually are accounts of him, you know, going naked in public places at different times. Sometimes he would, the gumsho, which generally, you know, people wear around their waist, sometimes he would kind of like wear it as a turban and dance around like that, or just be flailing it around. And so he was quite unconventional, and there were even more kind of eccentric activities performed, and I'm not going to mention them because they were so eccentric that it's kind of, I feel almost embarrassed saying them, but so I'm not even going to mention them, but they were there. Anyway, so finally, Lord Nityananda, after that 20-year period, he wound up in Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, he was experiencing a lot of ecstasy. He went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and he was kind of feeling the walls, and you know, he was experiencing a lot of ecstasy and everything. Finally, at one point, he had a vision. And in his vision, or revelation, he understood that Lord Chaitanya was, you know, had appeared, and he was now manifesting his pastimes. He was now manifesting his mission. You know, he was, so it was time for him to, you know, go to and meet with Lord Chaitanya. So after that, after he had that revelation, this was about 1506. He was about 32 years old at the time. Then he traveled through the dense forests from Vrindavan to Navadvip, to where Lord Chaitanya was, and he hid himself in the house of Nanda Nacharya. And so Lord Chaitanya, it's like a pastime, you know, he could understand, he knew he was there, so he sent Haridas Thakur and Srivas Thakur to find him, but they couldn't. They couldn't find them because Lord Nityananda, by his desire, he didn't want to be discovered. So even Lord, I mean, Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma, and Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, and so they're pretty qualified people. But they couldn't, you know, overcome the desire of Lord Nityananda. They weren't able to find them, so they came back and they had to report to Lord Nityananda that they couldn't find them. So Lord Chaitanya he couldn't stand the separation anymore, so he just decided, okay, I know where he is anyway. So he led a big party of devotees to the house of Nanda Nacharya, and sure enough, Lord Nityananda was there. And when they met, it was like, wow, you know, they were embracing and laughing and crying and, you know, falling on the floor, passing out and coming back to consciousness again. And it was really an amazing you know, display of transcendental ecstasy. They were, you know, experiencing it's being reunited, the two brothers. So so then from that point onwards, for the next several years, they were constant companions. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were constant companions, and, you know, in performing, Lord Chaitanya, as I mentioned, had already started his Sankirtan mission, you know, of congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and was spreading that in that Navadvipa area. And so Lord Nityananda was his kind of chief whip, I think he's referred to like that. And it was around that time, or at that time, when the famous pastime of Jagai and Madai took place. Lord Chaitanya had assigned Haridas Thakur to be Lord Nityananda's preaching partner. So they used to go. They used to go out. They were going even door to door and throughout Navadvip, and preaching to people, you know, begging them to chant the holy names, take worship Lord Chaitanya, like that. So, you know, everybody knows the story. I'll just kind of really briefly. So one day they were going, and there's a big crowd and a lot of tumult and everything. And what's going on? And it was just mentioned here, as Prabhupada mentioned in his excerpt from the lecture, there was Jagai and Madai. You know, they were actually, their names were Jagannath and Madhavananda Bhattopadhyaya, something. You know, they're from a good Brahminical family like that, but they had given up the ways of their ancestors and now are debauchees, drunkards, dacoits, etc. So they were causing a big disturbance. And so, as Prabhupada mentioned, you know, Lord Nityananda thought, let's deliver him, or Lord Chaitanya be glorified. And the first time, on the first day when they went, they just got chased away. And then they went back and they reported to Lord Chaitanya what had happened. And then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, go back. You know, give it another go. And then on the second day, when they went, they got chased and yelled at, profanities. And then Mudai took a piece of a broken clay pot and threw it. And he hit Lord Nityananda in the head and it drew blood. And somehow another word got back to Lord Chaitanya that was going on. So he was, meantime, he's rushing to the scene. But meantime, Mudai was wanting to finish the job. You know, when actually, when Lord Nityananda got hit by the clay pot in the head and was bleeding, he said, okay, doesn't matter that you've injured me. Still, I request you, please chant the holy name of Lord Krishna like that. So when Jagai saw that, he realized, oh, whoa, I think we made a mistake here. It's gone too far. I mean, you know, they were both drunk and debauchees and everything, but I guess Jagai wasn't as bad as Mudai, and he could understand that, no, wait a second. This is like we're doing the wrong thing here. And meantime, Mudai was, he was trying to finish the job, as I said. He was ready to kind of try to strike Lord Nityananda again. And Jagai said, no, hey, stop. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, just, and he actually grabbed him to stop him physically, to stop him from trying to attack Lord Nityananda any further. And just around that same, at that same time, Lord Chaitanya appeared on the scene, and he was ready. He invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was ready to kill both of them, you know. And I can't remember, and I think Lord Nityananda intervened at that time and said, no, don't kill him. So Lord Chaitanya was still pretty furious. He was ready to do it, but then he explained to him, he said, your mission in this incarnation is not to kill the fallen souls, but to deliver them. So, you know, if you kill them, you might as well kill everybody, because 99.9% of the population is like these two guys. So, you know. Anyway, so he was ready to excuse, Lord Chaitanya was ready to excuse Jagai. But as I'm looking, Amala Bhaktamaraj did a great narration of this back, I think his first narration of his, the past times, it was, yeah, Jagai and Mudai. It was great. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was ready to excuse Jagai, but not Mudai, because, you know, he was a little bit more out there. So, but he begged forgiveness from Lord Nityananda directly, and Lord Nityananda, of course, forgave him. And then Lord Chaitanya decided to, okay, and he accepted the sins from them. You know, he forgave them for their sins, and his body became black momentarily, you know, as he was like burning off their sins. And it's described how Chitragupta is, I think that's the name of Yamaraj's assistant, who records all the sinful activities of the conditioned souls. And it said that he couldn't record them. He couldn't record. They were so sinful, he couldn't record all the sinful activities of Jagai and Mudai. He fainted or passed out or something like that. It was just too much for him. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, kind of absorbed all their and burned off all their sinful reaction. And he made him, but he made him promise, though, that that from this point onwards, you know, he no more sinful activity. That was before that. He even did that, you know, and then they agreed. And they actually went on to become great devotees. You know, they went on to become great devotees, great followers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they were chanting 100,000 names a day. That's about 58 rounds a day. And they Mudai asked for some, Lord Nityananda, for some special atonement. And he said, okay, you could take care of these ghats here. He gave them a couple bathing ghats, in which they not only kept clean, but they renovated and they made them, you know, and that was a service they did to all the Vaishnavas throughout the rest of their life. So they were delivered. And so then shortly thereafter, Lord Chaitanya decided to go to, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And that's when there was that famous pastime when they didn't want him to go. And So he was trying to go, but he was kind of like in so much ecstasy, he didn't actually, he started the trip off by wandering out, Lord Chaitanya, wandering through Radha Desh for 3 days, not knowing whether it was, as I was describing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he didn't know where he was or whether it was day or night. So it gives you an idea, and he wasn't spaced out. In other words, he was in such a high state of spiritual ecstasy that he just was almost oblivious to external circumstances. So anyway, so Lord Nityananda, he didn't, none of the devotees had wanted him to do it, at least not at that time. So he devised it like a trick. He went to where he knew Lord Chaitanya was, and there were some cowherd boys there, and he told them, if a sannyasi comes this way, he said, he's going to, asking which is the way to Vrindavan, he said, look, he gave him some, it's described, reasonable story, I guess whatever he told him, doesn't say. But he said, tell him the path to Vrindavan is along the bank of the Ganges here, which wasn't the way, actually. But he got the cowherd boys to cooperate, so sure enough, when Lord Chaitanya came, the cowherd boys directed him along the path to the Ganges. And so at some point, he met Lord Nityananda, and he was surprised. Oh, Nityananda, what are you doing going to Vrindavan? And Lord Nityananda said, is that what he said? Wherever you are, Lord, that is Vrindavan? I can't remember. But anyway, so he was surprised, and then he bathed. Lord Chaitanya bathed in the Lord Nityananda said, this is the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya offered some prayers and glorification of the, no, he told him, sorry, Lord Nityananda told him, here's the Yamuna. So he was thinking, I'm getting close to Vrindavan, here's the Yamuna. So he offered some prayers and glorification of the Yamuna, and then he bathed in the Yamuna. And then he was, he didn't have a change of clothes at that point. He just had what he was wearing. So then Advaitacharya came in a boat. And then Lord Chaitanya started kind of catching on. Wait a second, what's going on here? What are you doing here, Advaitacharya? What are you doing here in the Yamuna? He says, actually, no, this is the... And then he was informed that it was the Ganges, but actually... I can't remember how to... Yeah, right. The other side of the river was a place where the Ganges and the Yamuna kind of ran together. So Advaitacharya was saying, actually, what Lord Nityananda has told you is not a lie. This is the place where the both rivers run together. Anyway, so they kind of come back to Advaitacharya's house, and when they were there, they had this amazing pastime. Advaitacharya was very happy to host both of them, and they'd both been fasting for 3 days, so he wanted to feed them. So he brought him into a room there, and where he already prepared a nice feast and everything. And it was three different. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya was saying, I'm a sannyasi. I just want a little, very very little quantity of simple vegetables, and that's it. He didn't want to eat at all. And then there was a lot of humorous exchanges there between Lord Chaitanya, Advaitacharya, and also between Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, unlike Lord Chaitanya, he was, sat down, and Lord Chaitanya was trying to be a proper sannyasi, only wanted to eat a little bit. And Lord Nityananda was going, bring it on. He wanted to, and he was complaining that whatever he was being fed was nothing. He said, I'd hope to break my fast. I've been fasting for 3 days, and I'd hope today I could break my fast. But, you're offering me such a small quantity of foodstuff, I don't even think, it's not even worth bothering, And then Advaitacharya said, you're a mendicant. Can you just be a little bit humble and just be satisfied with what I'm offering you? And, then back and forth like that. And finally, Lord Nityananda took some, he had some rice, and he threw it on the ground, I can't even break my fast. Take your food, And it bounced off the ground, and it went onto the body of Advaitacharya, and he started dancing around in ecstasy, and like that. And he felt like purified, that he'd been blessed by the remnants of Lord Nityananda. And then Lord Nityananda said something like, this is a big offense. You can mitigate your offense by feeding 100 sannyasis sumptuously. And then Advaitacharya said, I'll never invite a sannyasi to my home again as long as I live, and like this. So they were having some nice exchanges there. And Yeah, it's all joking. It's all joking. It's all joking. You know, they're just on this very high level of transcendental ecstasy. So anyway, so that was still when both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were based in Navadvip. But then shortly after that, Lord Chaitanya decided to go to make his headquarters in Jagannath Puri. Lord Nityananda traveled with him. Oh, first he took sannyas in Katwa, and Lord Nityananda was present when he took sannyas from Keshava Bharti. He knew what was going on. I think it was Lord Nityananda and Mukundadat that accompanied him at that time. And then after that, he started for Jagannath Puri. So Lord Nityananda, and I think it was Mukundadat, if I remember correctly, were his companions there. And when they got very close, they were only about 6 miles north of Jagannath Puri. And then Lord Chaitanya decided that he wanted to bathe in this river. And he also wanted to visit a particular couple temples, a temple of Lord Shiva called Kapoteshvara. So it was at that time that the famous pastime of Lord Nityananda breaking Lord Chaitanya's sannyas staff. He was a new sannyasi at that time, so you have to carry. Part of the thing is when you're a new sannyasi, you want to carry it with you all the time. But Lord Nityananda, he for some reason, I'll explain that. He broke it in three pieces. Lord Chaitanya left it with him in his to watch in his care, and then he, took bath in the river, and they went off to the other side of the river to visit these temples. Meantime, Lord Nityananda breaks his sannyas staff in three pieces and throws it in the river. And that river now used to be called the Bargi River, and now it's called the Dandabhanganadi River, which means the river of the broken sannyas staff. So there's different reasons for this. One is that Lord Nityananda was making a statement by doing that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is superficial for you to take sannyas. And also, he was, by breaking it in three pieces, he was indicating that unlike the Mayavadi or the impersonal sannyas, the sannyasis dedicate mind, body, and words to the service of the Lord. So there's different esoteric and exoteric reasons for doing that. But basically, and also another reason was that it was part of the Alila, where Lord Chaitanya actually wanted to go ahead of everybody to Jagannath Puri, so he could kind of have like darshan of Lord Jagannath without having to deal with other people like that. So anyway, that happened. And so that's what happened. Lord Chaitanya went ahead, and he got to the Jagannath Temple, and everybody, you know that story about how when he saw Jagannath, he just fainted in ecstasy, and etc. So I'm going to skip some of the details of his arriving in Jagannath Puri, but they spent some time in Jagannath Puri together. They were associates there. But then Lord Chaitanya decided once again he wanted to go to Vrindavan. He hadn't been yet. The first time he tried to go, he got tricked, and he wound up coming back to, Navadvip. But this time he was determined to go, and he actually did, and he went for 2 years. And during that time, Lord Nityananda stayed there in Jagannath Puri, and he developed the preaching. He developed the preaching. He had, under his supervision, Sarvabhauma, Bhattacharya, Mukundadat, Jagadananda, they developed the preaching very nicely in Jagannath Puri under the supervision and direction of Lord Nityananda. And then when Lord Chaitanya returned to Jagannath Puri after 2 years, he requested Lord Nityananda to go to Bengal, because although the preaching in Jagannath Puri was flourishing, the preaching in Navadvip area, Bengal area, had been neglected, and it wasn't doing so well. So Lord Chaitanya requested Lord Nityananda to go there, and that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 15, text 42. The verse goes, Lord Chaitanya goes, "Go to Bengal and without restriction manifest devotional service to the Lord and love of Godhead." And then later in the Anshalila, third chapter, it explains that, it describes how he was successful. So when Lord Nityananda went to Bengal, he started preaching in Shantipur, I believe. No, Panihati. Panihati. He was preaching in Panihati for about 5 months or so, and he was doing very nicely. He had certain devotees were assigned as to be his assistants, Gadadhar Das, Raghunath Vaija, Krishna Das Pandit, Ram Das, Padmeshwari Das, Purandara Pandit, Govinda. Actually, Lord Nityananda, you know, Lord Chaitanya is famous for introducing Madhurya Ras. He kind of like promoted the Madhurya Ras. Lord Nityananda, of course, supported that, but he also promoted Sakya Ras. And Lord Nityananda is actually, you know, as Balaram, he liked to associate with the cowherd boys. And he, Sakya Ras is the friendship, Ras of friendship. So these different personalities whose names I just mentioned, they're all Gopalas. There were actually, you know, there's 12, in Vrindavan, there were 12 Gopalas, 12 very intimate, confidential cowherd boyfriends of Lord Nityananda. And they, in the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, that's the authorized, it's kind of like the Who's Who book in the Chaitanya Leela. It's written by Kavi Kanapur, who is the son of Shivananda Sain. And it's considered an authorized, you know, literature. So he explains that these different 12 Gopalas, they actually were there with Lord, you know, there were these associates of Lord Nityananda. They were the Das Gopalas. And led by Ram Das Abhiram. And anyway, I'll mention their names later. So he, you know, was doing his preaching there. And then at one point, there's that famous pastime of where Raghunath Das Goswami got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You know, he was able to. His parents were very protective. They didn't want him to become a devotee. Well, you know, not a devotee of that stature. They kind of were happy if he's at home, and, you know, they tried to, they married him to a beautiful woman and a beautiful girl, and still he didn't want him. He wasn't interested. He wouldn't stay in the same place, you know. And so, anyway, he snuck off, and he went to where Lord Nityananda was associating with his, you know, devotees like that. And he was off in the distance, and the devotee said, "Oh, there is Raghunath Das Goswami. There's Raghunatha, you know, Raghunath Das." So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda said, "Okay, come here. But Raghunath Das, he was very, you know, shy and humble, and he didn't do it. And so Lord Nityananda personally got up and went and captured him, grabbed him, and he put his foot on his head. And he told him, "You're like a thief, you know, you're trying to stay off at a distant place, and, you know, and now today I'm going to punish you." So it was, you know, once again, humorous and a lot of affection there. But that's when he gave him the instruction that he should put on a festival of chipped rice and yogurt, and he should supply chipped rice and yogurt for all the devotees. And Raghunath Das, who later was, you know, known as Das Goswami, he was happy. Because he was from a wealthy family, and, you know, that he had the means to do that. So that was that famous, you know, that's how that came about. And at that festival, it started off kind of small, and then, like, more and more devotees came, and more and more devotees came, and more and more. There was no room for anybody. Some devotees were half immersed in the, you know, in the river there, and there's just so many devotees came, and he kept. More Raghunath Das arranged for more and more prashanam, and then people who came brought prashanam, and it's like a, you know, became a big, huge festival. And at one point, in the ecstasy of the whole thing, Lord Nityananda was going around, and he was taking some 2 grains of rice or something, you know, a little bit of out of everybody's pot, and doing something with it. And those Raghunath Das could see, and some confidential devotees could see, that actually Lord Nityananda had called Lord Chaitanya there in meditation, and that he was actually, Lord Chaitanya was there, and he was feeding Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was accepting the offering like that. So this is the kind of elevated level of these pastimes. So anyway, so that went on. And then Lord Nityananda continued his preaching in Bengal. He went to other places. He went to other places, and he was successfully preaching. Oh, here we go. Yeah, he went to. He made his headquarters in the home of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit is a is the incarnation of Damayanti, who's famous for cooking for Krishna. So Raghava Pandit and his sister, what's his sister's name? Can't remember. Anybody remember the name of Raghava Pandit's sister? Okay. She was Damayanti. Was it Damayanti? I can't remember. But anyway, he used Raghava Pandit's house as headquarters, small house, and thousands of people were, you know. Danishta, maybe. Oh, no, Danishta is the name in Krishna Leela, and Damayanti, I think, was his name in Krishna Leela. But anyway, so he was preaching there, and then he moved to a town called Varaha Nagara. He stayed with Gadadhar Das, not to be confused with Gadadhar Pandit. And his preaching was so popular, his kirtans were so popular, that even the school children in all the local villages were, you know, cutting out of school, and they were coming to participate in the kirtans. And then he also preached in Shaptagram, and where it's described that he uplifted the outcasts and the untouchables. He particularly was very successful preaching to a caste of Suvarna Malik, you know, very materialistic gold merchants who had been considered outcasts, and he had a great success kind of inspiring appreciation from them. He also preached in Shantipur, Navadweep, Danagora, Baragachi, Dogachia, Fulia, and all the villages on both sides of the Ganges. And at one point, he actually converted 2,500 Buddhists, 1,200 male and 1,300 female Buddhists, and he converted them to Vaishnavas during that time period there. So then it was during that time that Lord Nityananda decided to give up being an Abhidhut and get married, to enter the Grihastha Ashram. And I don't know, I can't remember if he was instructed to do that by Lord Chaitanya. I don't think so, but this is realization. So he married the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakale, who was a statesman, a prominent statesman at the time. He actually also happened to be the brother of Gauridas Pandit, who was one of the 12 Gopalas. So a very confidential devotee of Lord Nityananda. So his two daughters' names were Janava and Vishuddha. And actually, they were already like very attracted and devoted to Lord Nityananda. They were devotees. But they weren't just like ordinary. They actually, according to the Ganadesha Deepika, they were Revati and Varuni in Krishna Leela. They were the two wives of Balaram. So it's a Leela. So he married them, and Vishuddha was the younger of the two sisters, and Lord Nityananda had two children with Vishuddha, a boy, and that was Virabhadra, and the girl's name, I think, was Ganga something. Gangam, I can't remember. And she was actually considered a personification of the Ganges River. And his son's name, Virabhadra, was supposed to be an incarnation of Shiradakshai Vishnu. So, So anyway, but Vishuddha, shortly after the birth of her two children, she passed away. But Janava she vowed that she would bring them up. So they were brought up by Janava. And actually, Virabhadra was initiated by Janava Mata. She actually went on to become a very prominent Vaishnavi, and she was recognized by Narottam Das Thakur, by all the great, devotees at that time. Forgetting the names of the other. Sorry? Yeah, Srinivasacharya and etc. Shamananda Pandit, like that. She was recognized by all these great devotees, and so much so that even after the passing away of Lord Nityananda, they had this festival at Keturi Gram. It was the first kind of like Vyas Puja festival. Oh, no, it's a Gaur Purnim. Yeah, first Gaur Purnim festival. So she was like the presiding Vaishnav there. She was considered the most elevated devotee, and she presided there. And actually, according to the story, the kirtan that Narottam Das Thakur was leading was so amazing that the Panchatattva actually appeared at that festival in some transcendental way, and the devotees were actually able to see the Panchatattva participating in that in the Kirtan of Narottam Das Thakur at that time. So that was Janava Mata. And Lord Nityananda, he passed away in pretty much very very close to the town where he was born in Ekachakra. He went back there at some point, and he found a deity of Krishna in the mud in this river, which was like a tributary of the Ganges River. I wrote the name of it down here someplace, but I'm not finding it. Oh, Mandeshvara River, which was it was a tributary of the Yamuna River. Anyway, so he found this deity, and he got on this, you know, and then he cleaned it up, of course, and he made a temple for it, installed it in the temple. And on one side of the deity is a deity of Radharani, and the other side is a deity of Janava. Anyway, so the only story about how Lord Nityananda left this world is that he entered into that, he merged with that deity, Bankim Roy, in that temple. And so that's kind of like some details about his life. And let's see. Another amazing, well, pastime is once when they were traveling to Jagannath Puri. You know, the devotees from Lord Chaitanya made his headquarters in Jagannath Puri, and basically the system was that every year the devotees from Navadvipa would come, and they would spend the rainy season. You know, they'd get there just, and they'd spend that time there with Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya actually requested Lord Nityananda not to come. He didn't want him to kind of, he wanted to just stay there and concentrate on the preaching. But Lord Nityananda didn't obey. He would come anyway. And so anyway, one year when they were traveling, there was some delay, you know. Srivananda Sen, who was, as I mentioned, the father of Kavi Kanapur, he was also like a very intimate, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he was responsible for all the arrangements, the travel arrangements. And something was happening. He was trying to arrange something. It was taking some time. There was some delay. And all the devotees were kind of like, you know, they weren't accommodated at that, but they were just kind of like waiting on the road kind of thing. Well, you know, waiting for him to make the arrangement. And so Lord Nityananda was getting a bit impatient. And finally, when Srivananda Sen came back, because they, you know, they'd probably been sitting there waiting some hours like that. Well, whatever he was trying to do, I can't remember exactly what it was. So, paying the toll to get across the river, right, in the boat there. Okay, so finally, Srivananda Sen came back to the party, and Lord Nityananda was so impatient that, you know, he said, "I'm very hungry, and what are you inconveniencing me?" And he kicked him in the chest, you know, and his two sons, I believe it was, or nephew or something like that, when some relative, I don't know if it was his son or his nephew, I don't know if it was his nephew, he saw that, and he was totally bewildered, and he left the party, and he went, you know, directly head to the Lord Chaitanya, Srikanta, I think his name was, what? Huh? Yeah, he complained to Lord Chaitanya, that, what is this, you know? Lord Chaitanya pacified him, but Srivananda Sen, he wasn't disturbed. He wasn't disturbed, you know. Oh, and Lord Nityananda went as far as to say, "Let your sons die," or something like that, for the inconvenience you've caused me. And was that at that time? Yeah. So then he, you know, and his wife heard that, and she was kind of shocked, you know. Oh my God, you know, we've been Lord Nityananda cursed us, you know, our sons will. And she said, "We should all die." You know, Srivananda Sen said he had a transcendental kind of vision about the whole thing. He said, "We should all die, you know, because of the inconvenience we've caused Lord Nityananda." He wasn't disturbed at all. He took it, you know, in a sort of a joyful kind of a way. So there's that pastime. But, yeah. So I'll just read this thing here. This is about a couple of associates, one of the prime associates of Lord Nityananda. So the first and perhaps most important of these 12 is the 12 Gopalas was Ram Das Abhiram of Kanukul Krishnagar in Hubli. He possessed colossal strength, was able to lift a huge tree and use it as a flute, and was also one of Mahaprabhu's closest associates. He was given over to Nittai as an assistant and guardian. It is said that Ram Das carried a whip that was known as Jai Mangal, and that if he was kindly disposed towards someone, he would gently slap them with it three times, whereupon they would immediately develop pure love for Krishna. It is claimed that Ram Das Abhiram is Sridham in Krishna Leela. And then says the second of the 12 Gopals was Sundar Ananda Thakur, a Brahmin ascetic who was Sudama in Krishna Leela. Next in line was Dhananjaya, who was Vasudam. Goridas Pandit was Subal. Kamalakara Pipalai was Mahabala. Udaranadat was Subahu. Mahesh Pandit was Mahabahu. Purushottam was Stoka Krishna. Parameshvara Das was Arjuna. Purushottam Nagar was Dhamma. Kalakrishna Das was Labanga. Sridham was Madhumangal, or according to some, Kusumasava. With the help of these saints, coupled with the aid of Gadadhar Das and several other Vaishnav luminaries, Nityananda Prabhu was successful in spreading Vaishnav Dharma throughout the length and breadth of Bengal. So it was like, for Lord Nityananda, sort of like a reenactment of his pastimes with the cowherd boys in Vrindavan some 4,500 years prior to that. But, just put into proper perspective, that's, it was Lord Balaram coming with the cowherd boys, it's Lord Nityananda and his associates like that, doing that type of thing. So as I started off by saying, the importance of Lord Nityananda is that, as stated by Narottam Das Thakur, is that without his mercy, you don't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and you're not going to be able to really properly understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And also it's stated, and this might just be Radha Damodar lore, because I can't remember ever hearing Prabhupada say this or reading it or seeing it in print, but it was always a common saying among the Radha Damodar TSKP devotees that in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to get the mercy of Jagai Madai. So, if we're interested in getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, as I said, I'm not sure if that came from Prabhupada or if it's just Radha Damodar lore, but it's a good idea to preach. Preaching is something that, that makes sense. It's you can support it logically, because it's also stated that Lord Nityananda is the spiritual master is a manifestation of the love and the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we know how much importance Prabhupada placed upon preaching. So by approaching Jagai Madai, by making an attempt to spread Krishna consciousness, that's pleasing to Prabhupada, it's pleasing to Lord Nityananda, and it's very good way to try to get the mercy of both the Guru, spiritual master, and Lord Nityananda. So I think that's kind of all I got here. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Yeah, Archita, please.
Thank you very much for a wonderful presentation, Brigapati Prabhu. Just one pastime that's very much germane to our situation in ISKCON is the one of the Adbhuta Mandir. The Jiva Goswami went on pilgrimage after Lord Chaitanya left. And when he came to Bengal, he met with Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda revealed to him that in the future there was going to be this Adbhuta Mandir, this wonderful temple that would attract devotees from all around. So we, from our perspective, we accept that this Mandir that's going up in Mayapur Dham now is that Adbhuta Mandir that was predicted by Lord Nityananda. And the Kalash ceremony, I think, is going to happen pretty soon. They're putting the major Kalashes on. So if you can't go, it will be broadcast on Mayapur TV, so everybody can watch.
Yep.
He went there. He apparently made a mistake. He paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya first, and Lord Chaitanya got angry. I think he chastised him because he should have paid obeisances to Lord Nityananda. But I don't remember the name of the devotee. Do you remember it?
I can't remember now.
So anyway,
there was always a competition between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. This started off at the house of Srivas Thakur when they were in Nabadweep. Just shortly after they had their first, reunited, Lord Nityananda tried to make these arrangements, you know, to worship, to offer Vyas Puja to Lord Chaitanya. But then Lord Chaitanya stole all the paraphernalia and worshiped Lord Nityananda. So they were always competing like that, you know, they're trying to like worship each other, serve each other. So,
but from that incident, you know, we take that etiquette about senior Vaishnavas, senior devotees, even the Lord Himself is teaching us, right?
Isn't yeah.
that we should acknowledge the senior devotees.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an offense not to. It's called Maryada Vyatikrama. Impertinently surpassing one's superiors when you don't offer the proper etiquette to devotees, senior, you know, senior to yourself by age, by initiation, and by advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's just take the humble position, but say sorry. Anybody else? You? Never heard that. Doesn't sound correct to me because that the sannyasi that took Lord Nityananda away from us.
Yes. I've heard from a couple devotees, but I never read anywhere that the devotee that took Lord Nityananda or the sannyasi that took Lord Nityananda away from home when he was 13 years old was Vishwarup, which was Lord Chaitanya's brother that took sannyas. I've never read that anywhere, but I've also heard a devotee ask that to one ISKCON sannyasi, and he confirmed that it was. So I don't know. I was wondering, asking.
I don't know for sure, but it doesn't sound right to me because Vishwarup, I don't know. I never heard that. Anybody else know anything more about that? You knew something about that one? Thank you. Yeah. So we'll have to do further research on that. Okay, thank you very much. Lord Nityananda, Jayodasi Ki Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur's